Okay, we are going to continue with Babar, starting with page 139. But if you remember, in our last episode, Babar and the elephants defeated the rhinoceroses in the last glorious battle of the war. And after their success in winning the war, Babar decides that they will build a magnificent town on the edge of the lake. And so all the elephants got together and they built this wonderful, magnificent town. And every elephant had a job, and every job that needed to be done had an elephant to do the job. And the old lady worked in the schoolhouse teaching the children. And just before Cornelius gave his grand noble speech, Arthur and Zephyr won a prize. And so we will start on page 139 with the speech. Cornelius made a noble speech. "And now I wish you all a pleasant holiday," he ended up. Everyone clapped hard and applauded loudly. Then quite wearily he sat down, but alas and alack, his fine hat was on the chair and he crushed it completely. "A regular pancake," said Zephyr. Cornelius was aghast and sadly looked at what was left of the hat. What would he wear at the next formal occasion? The old lady promises Cornelius to sew him some plumes on his old derby, and in order to console him further, she invites him to go for a ride on the new merry-go-round which Babar has had built. Podular has carved the animals, Justinian has painted them, and the motor was installed by Olur. All three of them are very skillful. They have also made the king's mechanical horse. Olur has just oiled it, and Babar is winding it up. He wants to give it a final trial before the big celebration on the anniversary of the founding of Celesteville. The weather is perfect the day of the celebration. Arthur marches at the head of the parade with Zephyr and the band. Cornelius follows, his hat completely transformed. Then came the soldiers and the trades companies, and all those who are not marching are watching this unforgettable spectacle. On his way home from the celebration, Zephyr notices a curious stick. He goes to pick it up. Horrors! It is a snake which rears its head and hisses and cruelly bites the old lady who tries to hide Zephyr in her arms. Arthur furiously smashes his bugle on the snake's back and kills it. The old lady's arm swells rapidly, and she hastens to the hospital. Dr. Capalus takes care of her and gives her a hypodermic serum. Zephyr sadly remains near his mistress. She is very ill. "I can't tell you until tomorrow whether she will get well," Capalus says to Babar. As Babar leaves the hospital, he hears cries of "Fire! Fire!" Cornelius's house is on fire. The stairway is already full of smoke. The firemen succeed in rescuing Cornelius, but he is half suffocated and a burning beam has injured him. Capalus, summoned in great haste, gives him first aid before having him moved to the hospital. A match which Cornelius thought he had thrown away into an ashtray, but which had actually fallen, still lighted in the trash basket, had been enough to start the terrible fire. That night when Babar goes to bed, he shuts his eyes, but he cannot sleep. What a dreadful day, he thinks. It began so well. Why did it have to end so badly? Before these two accidents, we were all so happy and peaceful at Celesteville. We had forgotten that misfortune existed. Oh, my dear old Cornelius, and you dear old lady, I would give my crown to see you cured. Capalus was to telephone me any news. Oh, how long this night seems and how worried I am. Babar finally drops off to sleep, but his sleep is restless and he soon dreams. He hears knocking on his door, tap, tap, tap. Then a voice says to him, "It is I, Misfortune, with some of my companions. I have come to pay you a visit." Babar looks out of the window and he sees a frightful old woman surrounded by flabby, ugly beasts. He opens his mouth to shout, "Ugh! Foff! "Go away quickly." But he stops to listen to a very faint noise. Fur, fur, fur. As the birds flying in a flock. And he sees coming towards him graceful winged elephants who chase misfortune away from Celesteville and bring back happiness. At this point, he awakes and feels ever so much better. So we look on page 150 and 151, and we see the elephants chasing away misfortune and despair. On 152, Babar dresses and runs to the hospital. Oh joy, what does he see? His two companions walking in the garden. He can hardly believe his eyes. "We are all well again," says Cornelius, "but all this excitement has made me as hungry as a wolf. Let's get some breakfast and then later we'll rebuild my house." A week later, in Babar's drawing room, the old lady says to her two friends, "Do you see how in this life one must never be discouraged? The vicious snake didn't kill me, and Cornelius is completely recovered. Let's work hard and cheerfully, and we'll continue to be happy." And since that day, over in the elephant country, everyone has been happy and contented. The elephant's school at Celesteville is closed for the whole summer. Zephyr, the little monkey, as well as his bigger schoolmates, go off for the holidays. What fun to go and see his family again. But how sad to leave his friends. King Babar, Queen Celeste, the old lady, his teacher, and his beloved Arthur. All four have promised to come to the river near the bridge to see him off and bid him a last fond farewell. There they are. Zephyr catches sight of them. He waves his handkerchief and he shouts out, "Au revoir." Zephyr arrives at the station of Monkeyville and throws himself into his mother's arms. "Gracious, how you've grown, my darling," she says as she kisses him on both cheeks. Everybody has piled into the family car. Zephyr rides in front next to his father. His mother rides in back with his little sister and his brothers. "Let's go. Step on the gas," says Zephyr. They have to use a rope ladder to climb up to the house perched there in the treetops. Zephyr scrambles up easily, but laughs as he says to himself, "This wouldn't do at all for my friends, the elephants." The house is small but comfortable. While his mother prepares a good soup of bananas and chocolate, Zephyr plays hide-and-seek with his brothers. His father carries up the baggage, and his little sister swings to and fro. Zephyr falls to sleep almost as soon as his head touches the pillow. But in the middle of the night, the nightingale wakes him with his song. Tru-ra-lu-ra, twee-twee-twee-tree, tee-dee-tee-dee. Zephyr gets up gaily and runs to the window. "Hello, old chap." The two cronies now have a little chat. "Do you know what? There's a big package for you at the station," says the nightingale breathlessly. On the label is written, "From Babar." "Maybe it's a piano," answers Zephyr. "I won first prize in music, you know." The next morning, Zephyr hurries to the station. What a wonderful surprise. Babar has sent him a real rowboat. Zephyr, with his father's help, rolls it into the water. He's going in for a swim, and then later he will fish. The elephants have taught him how. Monkeys admire his courage, for they themselves are afraid of the water. Princess Isabel, turning to her father, General Hook, says, "Oh, what a daredevil that fellow Zephyr is." So on page 168, Zephyr is in his boat and he is out fishing. And it looks like on 169, he catches a mermaid. "What is it that I have caught?" Zephyr asks himself, greatly surprised. And then the beautiful creature speaks. "Oh, Mr. Monkey," she says, "don't squeeze me so hard. You are choking me. Listen to me, I pray. I'm a tiny little mermaid. I live in the sea. I have a head and arms just like you, but see, I have a fish's tail. I am accustomed to my life in the ocean waves. If you carry me off to the forest, I will surely die. Leave me here to swim about with my sisters. My name is Eleanor." Oh, sounds like she must be a friend of Epi, huh? My name is Eleanor. Maybe someday you'll have need of me. If so, throw me 3 pebbles into the water and repeat my name 3 times. No matter where I am, I will hear you and I will come. I will never forget you. Zephyr listens to the mermaid and then gently frees her from the fish hook. He has just let her go, but is a little sad at having lost her. On his way home, Zephyr sees some monkeys reading the newspaper in the street and hears the newsboy shouting, "Extra, extra! Princess Isabel vanishes!" "Poor little things," thinks Zephyr. "It can't be true. She was on the beach this morning when I started out to fish." He listens to the passerby, and this is what he hears. "We will continue tomorrow." Okay, good night. We are on 172 tomorrow.